Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to worship at High Street. A very warm welcome if you're with us for the first time, and we hope you'll stay to enjoy drinks and fellowship in the coffee bar after the service, along with a birthday cake. This morning, our worship is led by our friend Graham Faulkner, entitled Hoopless Christians, which sounds rather intriguing. The reader this morning is Linda Burbage. A big thank you goes out to all who make this morning service possible through their time and gifts. There will be an opportunity to have someone pray with you or for you after the service under the stained glass window. Nothing is too big or too small to bring before God. Now, we have a few church family notices to share this morning. We are sadly missing Roy Cobb today, whose stay in hospital last week was longer than expected, and we pray for his good recovery and plenty of rest. Roy does so much to welcome all into the church and behind the scenes. So to ensure he gets the rests he needs, we are appealing for someone to come forward to do the preparation that Roy normally does for our communion services, and for additional communion ushers to direct us up for communion. Let's make an extra effort, everyone, to welcome all to our services. Sadly, Katie Lowe and her family want to thank everyone for their prayers and support following the death of her father, Keith Webster. Details of the funeral on July the 31st and refreshments after are in the notices. And as friends of Keith, you are welcome to join the family and share memories. Now, on a lighter note, Dave Richardson has reached his 90th birthday today, and we wish him a very happy birthday. So if you'd like to. Let's sing happy birthday. So, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dave. Happy birthday to you. Please look in the notices for details of the farewell service for Reverend Ian Worrell and the welcome service for Reverend Kathy Flynn, the new pioneer minister in Carterton, happening in the next fortnight. Finally, we have a repeat of one very serious plea. No one, couple or small team has come forward in answer to our appeal for safeguarding person, couple or team, which is both an essential and a legal obligation for High Street. If you have felt at all prompted or nudged to help, please can you contact one of the stewards to find out more. Finally, let's pray as we worship and prepare to worship our Heavenly Father. Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, as we sit here full of the business and hubbub of our lives, we pray that you will be present with us. We understand so little of the scope of your power and your great love for us. We pray that you will teach us. We have difficulty trusting you and ignoring the wisdom of the world. We pray for faith. We pray that you would bless this service, that our worship will be joyful and sincere, and that we will leave strengthened and resolved to follow you. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
I thought the birthday cake was for me, but a bit early. So let's begin our worship as we sing two songs together, as we bring ourselves into God's presence. We'll sing "What a Beautiful Name" and then "Holy, Holy, Holy."
Yeah.
Let us pray. Lord God, as we gather together, each coming from our own background, you know all about us. You know, for some it is a time of celebration, celebrating birthdays. For some it is a time of rest because they finished school, they finished work. For others it's a time of grieving and mourning. For some here today, they are looking for purpose, a direction. For some, they are looking for rest. You know all about us, Lord. You know when we stand and sit. You know as the words form in our mouths. You know the thoughts of our minds. And so, Lord, we can come before you knowing that there is no barrier between us. We can come and rest in your presence and know that we are loved by the Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so we come to dwell in your presence, to sit at your feet, to gaze on your beauty and your glory and your holiness. And as we draw near to you, Lord, we are made more aware of the things that we have done wrong. There have been times in this past week, Lord, when we have been so busy with our own lives that we've shut you out. There have been times when we've turned a deaf ear to your words. There have been times, Lord, when we have spoken words which we would not want you to have heard. And we have done actions that we want to hide from you. And so we pray now, Lord, that you will bring these, our sins, before you. By your Holy Spirit, you will bring them to our minds, Lord. Lord, we are truly sorry for the times when we have not been the people you've called us to be. But we hear your words of grace and mercy to us, that by the death and resurrection of your Son, the power of those sins in our lives has been removed, that those sins have been forgiven, and they have been forgotten by you. And so we pray, Lord, that not only can they be forgotten by you, but they can be forgotten by us. That we accept your words of forgiveness and salvation. But we do not take that lightly, that we do not get up today and go from this place and carry on the same, but we go from this place as changed people because we have been in your presence. And we know of your love for us. And so, Lord, with grateful, thankful hearts, we hear your words of grace and mercy to us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Who would like a bar of chocolate? Okay. Do you want to come up for a bar of chocolate? Come on in. One slight question with a bar of chocolate. You've got to answer a question. Okay, answer the question first. What's your favourite colour?
Purple.
Sorry? Purple. And what's your favourite colour?
Purple.
Same colour, excellent. Anyone else want a bar of chocolate? Anyone else want a bar of chocolate? Yeah, do you want to come up for a bar of chocolate? Okay. Question. Can you count to 10?
Yes.
Not you. Can you count to 10? Count to 10.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Excellent. Do you know your alphabet? Off you go.
F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z, and Z.
Excellent. Well done. Anyone else want a bar of chocolate? Anyone else want a bar of chocolate? What's the problem? What's the problem? What's the problem? I've got three bars of chocolate and no volunteers to come and get them. See, that's the problem, isn't it? That's the problem. People get to the point where they say, you know, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it really worth coming up here for a bar of chocolate? And sometimes people think like that about the church. Sometimes we put lots of barriers and things in the way, things that we say people have got to do. And it gets in the way, and people get to the point going, is it worth it? Today we're going to be looking at Galatians 3, where it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ. How wide is your circle of inclusion? We all have one. Don't deny it. We all have a circle of inclusion. How wide is your circle of inclusion? How inclusive are you of people with other values, other races, other nationalities, other lifestyles? That's the question. The message today is there are no strangers in Christ. Does that hold true for you individually as people, as Christians? Does that hold true for this congregation as a whole? And we're going to look at that in more detail later. Whilst I was preparing this service, I found this video. I don't have shares in the company. It's a bank. I don't have shares in the company. But it just really was quite an interesting video that highlights what I'm talking about.
Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
La, 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 la.
Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run. Run through the meadow and scare up the milking cows. Run down the beach kicking clouds of sand. Walk a windy weather day, feel your face blow away. Stop and listen, love you. Blow like a snow's clown, run away your soul's clown. Ride on a roller coaster upside down. Walk like the Matilda. Run through the meadow and scare up the milking cows. Run down the beach kicking clouds of sand. Walk a windy weather day, feel your face blow away. Stop and listen, love you.
You are number
9241.
In the queue.
In the queue.
Blow like a snow's clown, run away your soul's frown. Ride on a roller coaster upside down. Waltzing Matilda, Carrie loves a kinkajou. Shall we catch a kangaroo? Hug you.
Solomon, friendly, raggedy.
La 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 la
la la la la la la la la la la. Let's sing again. Oh no, sorry, we're going to have the reading. Musicians just panicked. Yeah, we're having the reading. Yeah, sorry.
And I'm reading from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29 from the New International Version, in which it's entitled Children of God. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Jesus Christ, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen.
And now we're going to sing. No longer slaves. If I stand here, can you see? Or am I in the way? You can see, okay. Okay, that's fine. You have to put up with me singing at you now, though.
To live a road.
It's 11 o'clock, so it must be 11s. 11s. Now, that reading we have from Galatians is one of Paul's classic Pauline readings. You know what I mean? So what I want you to do, as I give out the biscuits, I want you to talk to each other about what that reading said to you. What struck you about that reading? Okay? It's Galatians 3, 23 to 29. Right, so let me give out some biscuits. Who wants the white chocolate digestives? Incoming. What about the milk chocolate digestives? I won't. You have to come and get them. If I throw them, they get smashed on the floor. Okay, you can share them. Remember, you've got to share them. Okay, who likes custard creams? Oh, they're your favourites. As if I knew, Dave. Look, if I knew, look. Hey, custard creams, eh? Yeah. But who likes, oh, now she's going back in the past, fig rolls? Oh, hey, hey, oh, hey, fig rolls. Incoming. Oh, close. Who likes Bourbons? Oh, there's a Bourbons at the back. Oh, I get my steps in doing this, don't I? I'm not giving them all out. I want you to be starting to talk to each other about that reading. Who likes Jammy Dodgers? Do share the biscuits out and talk to your neighbour about what you found in that reading. Galatians 3, 23 to 29. I've got a couple more left. Who likes gingers? Whoops. And I've got the boring ones, boring malted milk ones. Yes, there we go. All right. Okay, so talk to each other for a few minutes. Oh, and I've got some chocolate bars for the ones at the back, eh? Chocolate bar, I know, but the little ones haven't. And the people looking after them haven't, have they? So talk to your neighbour about what you got in that reading. What surprised you about it? What did you find difficult to understand? Just share the biscuits around. There's some people got grumbly stomachs around here. So it's Galatians 3, 23 to 29. So for those of you who haven't got a reading, I'll read it to you again. Before this faith came, we were close prisoners in the custody of the law, pending the revelation of faith. The law was thus put in charge of us until Christ should come, when we should be justified through faith. And now that faith has come, its charge is at an end. It is through faith that you are sons of God in union with Christ Jesus. Baptized into union with him, you have put on Christ-like our garments. There is no such thing as Jew or Greek, slave and freeman, male and female, for you are all one person in Christ. So if you belong to Christ, you are the issue of Abraham and heir of, by virtue of the promise. That's what you're looking at. Give you another minute. Okay, let's see what people thought. Is anyone willing to share what they struggled with, what they found surprising, what they found interesting? Any thoughts? You're all too busy eating biscuits. Any thoughts? Yeah, in that culture, saying there was no difference between men and women was a massive, massive, massive change, massive surprise. Anything else? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there was no barrier. This was basically saying anyone can be a Christian, rich, poor, male, female, doesn't matter. There was no barriers, no hoops to jump through. Everyone's welcome, yeah. Anything else? Yeah. So before it was like you became a Christian, you were worthy before God because you followed this rule and followed this rule, and you tick that box and you tick that box, you tick that box and tick that box. That was gone. Paul's saying, that's gone. It's now about a relationship. So on his first missionary journey, Paul came to a place in northern Turkey called Galatia, where he preached the gospel and formed a church. And obviously, because it was his missionary journey, he left that area and he carried on his journey. But at that point, some Jewish legalists, some Jews who became Christians, came to Galatia and started telling the church that if you were to be sons of, that they were sons of Abraham, and they were Jews fundamentally and become Christians, if you wanted to be saved from your sin, you must become a Jew first. You must adopt the Mosaic covenant with all the rules and regulations. They were saying that's fundamental. Without that, you're not a true Christian. And of course, remember, the church was young. And so some of the people in the church began to follow those rules and regulations. They started saying, okay, that sounds okay to us, we'll do that. And of course, as you can imagine, that started to form a division in the church between those who said, no, we're free in Christ, and those who said, no, you're not free in Christ, what you've got to do is follow the rules and regulations. To help us understand this, we need to go back and think about the covenants that God made with Israel. God made several covenants with Israel, but Paul in this passage was really talking about two: the Abrahamic covenant and the Mosaic covenant. So let's say, if we're here now in 2015, if I was to go back in time, 2025 years, we get back to when Jesus was born. But then go back another 1,500 years, we get to the time of the Mosaic covenant. If I then go back another 430 years, we get to the time when God called Abraham and inaugurated the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant was called the Abrahamic covenant because it was given to Abraham. And it's essentially based upon the promise that God gave to Abraham in Genesis, where he said, I'm going to bless those who bless you, I'm going to curse those who curse you, and I will make you the father of many nations, and I will give you this promised land. What people don't really understand about that Abrahamic covenant is that it was a covenant made in a very unique way. Most covenants, like marriage, are when two people come together, and the man says, I promise to love you and cherish you and honour you and whatever that. And the woman says the same, and they promise this together, and they make a covenant. But the Abrahamic covenant was unique. In the sense, it was only made with promises by one party, and the other side said nothing. Back in Abraham's day, they had a very strange way of making covenants. What they would do is they'd get an animal, they'd kill the animal, they'd cut it in half, and then they'd place two halves facing each other with a gap between them. And then those people making the covenant would walk through the gory mess in the middle, saying their promises. And what they were sort of saying is that as they walked through saying their promises, they were like indicating that if they broke those promises, may something just as horrible, gory, dreadful happen to them. That's where, just ironically, that's where we get the idea of cutting a deal from. Cutting a deal comes from that background. So when God said to Abraham, he said, I want to make a covenant with you. He said to Abraham, set up the covenant. So Abraham did that. So Abraham got the animal, killed it, cut it in half, placed it on the floor, but then God put Abraham into a deep sleep. And although Abraham was in a deep sleep, he was still aware of what was going on. But the sleep was there to make sure that Abraham didn't partake in the covenant. Abraham couldn't get up and walk through the gory mess. God wanted to make a unilateral, unconditional covenant with Abraham. It was not conditional on anything that Abraham could do. There was no way for Abraham to violate that covenant. It was all based on God. Abraham just had to believe the Lord. And when Abraham believed the Lord, God counted that belief as righteousness for Abraham. And God said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this promised land to possess. Only God is responsible for keeping the Abrahamic covenant. Abraham and all his descendants could do nothing to violate it or nullify it. They just had to believe. Now, the Mosaic covenant, that's different. Because that was conditional upon certain things happening, and that certain things happening was obedience. You remember the time it was happening? So God had brought the Israelites out of slavery, and they were going through the wilderness, and God sensed that he was losing his people. He was beginning to lose his people. They sort of, as the years went by, they began to realize that slavery was a long time ago. And so God said, thought to himself, well, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the law to keep my people. And so God gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai, and the people of Israel promised to obey. And that's what the background, what Paul's trying to grapple with the church in Galatia. So Paul says to the church in Galatia, so you're looking for a special blessing, and you think it's going to come from keeping the law. But that's not how blessings come. Blessings come by faith and by believing. But for some of the Galatians, that just sounded too simple. It came down to some of the assumptions being made. The first assumption is that God made the law, meaning the Mosaic covenant, binding on the church. It was binding on Israel, but he did not make it binding on the church. God made the Mosaic covenant with Israel, not the church. To take elements of that covenant and to bring them into the church and to say you must do this is fundamentally wrong. You can't take believing and doing and put them together and make out of it some recipe for salvation. But that's what the Jewish legalists were doing. So you might ask the question, well, come on then, Graham, what's the point in the law? What is the point in the law? Why did God bother to spend all that time and all that effort to come up with the Mosaic covenant? If it isn't necessary for salvation. Well, Paul tells us that the law was given because of our transgressions, because of our sins. It was given to reveal the depth of our sin. It was meant to be a law that the Jews understood could not be perfectly kept. And also remember, God didn't just give them the law, he gave them the sacrificial system along with it. Because he wanted to show them that they couldn't keep the law perfectly, and that forgiveness would come through the substitution. A substitution who would have to die and shed their blood for them. And God put this in place so that every time they sacrificed an animal, it was a reminder that someone had to stand in as a substitute. It's worth remembering that Paul was a Pharisee. Paul was a man who had, his past was devoted every ounce of his existence to keeping the law. When we first meet Paul, he was out there trying to persecute Christians. Paul believed that it was through keeping the law that his righteous standing before God was. And now here's this very same man who has been set free from the Pharisaic thinking, who has had his eyes opened to the gospel of Jesus Christ, saying to all those who rely on the works, all those who rely on the law are under a curse and not justified. He said in verse 23, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed to us. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian or under the guardianship of the law. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons and daughters of God. And that's the point. What Paul is saying here to these Galatians is these people are coming and saying to you that you've got to embrace the covenants. You've got to become a Jew first. But you are already sons and daughters of Abraham. You're already sons and daughters of God, not by DNA, not by joining in with the Mosaic covenants and substitution and circumcision and keeping the law of Moses. No, you are sons and daughters of Abraham through faith. By believing that Jesus died for you, you are already sons and daughters of Abraham and of God. In Jesus, there was no Jew, no Greek, no free, no slave. All those distinctions of humanity and worldliness, they're all gone. Even to the point of male and female, that's all gone. It's no longer applicable in Christ. Because we all receive Jesus and salvation exactly the same way. All the distinctions that we and society put out there, Christ has broken down. We are all one in Christ. Let's sing again. I haven't got my glasses, I can't read that. 696, for the healing of the nations. Say about jumping through hoops, it implies trying to meet exacting expectations. And many have created the perception that becoming a Christian is like jumping through hoops. That the relationship with Jesus Christ is all about trying to meet exacting expectations. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about what God has done for us, and not what we can do for him. The gospel declares that God accepts sinners, not on the basis of how many hoops they can jump through, but on the merits of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for sinners. As we saw in the early church history back in Galatia, the Jewish believers wanted the Gentile converts to jump through the hoops of circumcision and obedience to the law of Moses to be real Christians. But the Apostle Paul affirms that the gospel of salvation is by grace through faith, and it places everyone on equal ground. The freeness of the gospel declares that there are no hoops to jump through in order for God to accept me and to forgive me. I simply need to believe and accept his grace in Jesus Christ. Another reason why there appear to be so many hoops is that we fail to think through the implications of the gospel. Understanding the gospel doesn't simply answer the question as to how I can be sure of heaven. The gospel calls us to experience the joy of freedom. Freedom from ever needing to achieve God's favour by our own efforts. The gospel declares that in Christ I am forgiven, accepted, and secure forever. Let me ask you this question. If you had to meet one of these following qualifications to earn salvation and enter heaven, which one would you get today? So which one of you can translate the entire Hebrew Old Testament into Swahili? Which one of you here today can write a cheque to charity from your own bank account for the amount of £50 million? If you can, see me later. Who can run a marathon backwards every day for a month? Who can figure out the constant pi to the thousandth place with paper, pencil and no calculator? Who can explain existentialism to a group of toddlers? Aren't you glad that God isn't asking you to jump through some of those hoops to qualify for heaven? But what about these hoops? Knowing the meaning of long Christian words like sanctification, justification, redemption, atonement, omnipotence, omnipresent, eschatology. What about knowing your Bible thoroughly? What about knowing the Lord's Prayer? What about knowing the words of the communion service? What about knowing the words of the grace? What about being able to sing some of the old hymns unaccompanied? How about knowing when to stand or whether to sit? How about having a certain education? Wearing certain clothes? The point is, of course, that all of us would be in seriously deep trouble if we had to earn our way into heaven by our own power or intellect. If you had to come to God this way, we wouldn't make it. And God designed it that way so that he would get the credit and not you. You can enjoy salvation because of what God has done, not because of anything that you can do. There is no room to boast. It's not about your age, your gender, your education, your status, your race, your colour. We are all equal in Christ. You might think you're good, but you're not good enough. You might think you're wise, but you're not wise enough. So when you talk to others about who you are in Christ, don't lead people to believe that you had much to do with it. Make sure others understand that you are who you are in Christ because of what God has done for you. This is what God did for you. In the same way, after supper, Jesus brought forth the bread and the cup, saying to them, "This bread represents my body. This cup represents my blood. And that is how the covenant will be. The covenant promises will be achieved for you through my body and my blood." Jesus said, "I haven't come to take anything away from the law. I've come to fulfill it." In his death, in his resurrection, he fulfilled the law. So through faith, we can keep the law because Jesus fulfilled it for us. He did something we could never do. We could never fulfill the law, but he did it perfectly. He fulfilled it, bringing it to completion. All those sacrifices of the Old Testament, they find their fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's think about the application of this. Let's go back to those circles of inclusion we spoke about. I want to help you think about your circle of inclusion. I need some help. I have some hoops here. I need some people to give out the hoops. I have some more in here as well. I have hoops. And what I want you to do is I want you to take a hoop. Don't just leave it to the steward. I want you to take a hoop and give it out. And I want you to take the hoop home. I want you to take the hoop home. And this week, as you look at that hoop, I want you to think about your circle of inclusion as a Christian. And every time you look at that hoop, I want you to think of somebody who's outside your circle of inclusion. And I want you to pray for that person, that God will show you how you can include that person into your circle of inclusion. That you can bring them into God's family and offer them freedom from the law. So this week, when you look at those hoops, don't worry about the size of them. It doesn't mean your circle of inclusion is small or big. That's just, although you might think that. When you look at them, just think of somebody who's outside your circle of inclusion. And ask God to show you a way in which you can bring them in. That they may experience the freedom and the salvation that God offers through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray for others.
Before we come to our time of prayer for others, I'll lead us through a series of just reflections, which then lead into it. I want to start by showing you this little piece of paper. It says, you probably can't read it from the back, it says, I am loved, I am welcomed, I belong. And this lives in our daughter Amy's bedroom. Amy wrote it because she has had in the past some quite tough times when she's felt outside the community, outside a conversation. And so she wrote this down. I am loved, I am welcomed, I belong. And whenever she feels overwhelmed, I hear her up in her bedroom saying those words. And Amy said that I could bring these to show you. So I want to start with that. I am loved, I am welcomed, I belong. Oh, the freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's Galatians 5, verse 1. So why do we make things so difficult for ourselves and for other people too, even in our hidden thoughts? I should, I ought to, I must, they should, they ought to. We are all children of God. Knowing Jesus, putting our faith in him, we are set free. And what a blessing to be free. But what a lonely, exhausting place to be, though, if we're constantly looking to see how we can fit in, or what we need to do, or how we should talk, and what we should wear. And what a lofty, aloof place to be considering who we might like to have in our circle of friends, or our club, or our church. Just who might fit in, or who might we feel comfortable with, already creating hoops for others to jump through. I am loved, I am welcomed, I belong. Come in as you are. Sit down, make yourself at home. I'm so glad you're here. And what about all the people in our world who feel outside, who don't know the welcome of Jesus? Oh, for there to be no outside or inside, just an ever-expanding, spacious place for all. No fences, barriers, borders, margins, just open arms and open hearts. Jesus. Jesus, friend, humble, welcoming, forgiving friend, rescuer, healer, restorer. So we come, putting our faith in the beautiful, powerful name of Jesus. We think of the people in our world who feel totally unseen, overlooked, forgotten. Those starving, besieged and injured. The exhausted and the fearful. The hopeless and the mourning. Gaza, Syria, Ukraine. So many people. Let us hold silence and ask God's blessing over them all. Putting our faith in the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus, who calls us all to be children of God, we think of leaders across the world in every sphere of life who abuse their position. Leaders who seek to profit, oppress, exploit, and control. Leaders who block their ears to suffering. Leaders who close their minds. Jesus, waymaker, miracle worker, light in the darkness, we pray for miraculous change. We pray for wisdom, compassion, and lasting peace. Let us hold silence and ask God's blessing over all leaders. Across the world, in our own country, in our own town, we hold before you people who have to jump through hoops to receive support and housing. People who are slaves to addictions and mental health issues. We think of young people especially who feel they need to jump through hoops seeking acceptance and friendship. Let us hold silence and ask God's blessings over them all. Father God, you call us all your children through faith. Give us the strength and the stamina day by day to rely on your love and goodness to be our guiding light. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So let us walk in that freedom and share that freedom with others. I am loved, I am welcomed, I belong. And may all know that freedom in Jesus. We pray in his name, in Jesus' name. Amen. And shall we all join together saying the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So our final song is In Christ Alone. Mind you, you've got to stop and have some of Dave's birthday cake and a cup of tea and our fellowship with Israel. Let's bless each other in the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.